Hello, you are watching and or listening to the Black Bi Reality Podcast, podcast for Black Bi baddies and those who love us and reality TV. I'm your host, Nicole Weaver. I'm an entertainment reporter currently working for Collider and the HBIC of this podcast. I want to do a quick intro before getting into the Joseph interview, just because we have a few exciting things out and coming. So first I wanted to let you guys know that I talked to Soda Thompson from Survivor 46, and it was so nice catching up to her. She is back to teaching, but she also re-released a song that she wrote as a teenager, and I loved it and wanted to talk to her about it, as well as the cast of Survivor 47 and of course Survivor 50. That's out now, so go ahead and check it out if you're into Survivor. Next, I also talked to Sherique Atkinson. If you watch Amazing Race, you'll be familiar with her. She is a director, and she is directing a pilot of the Man-Hating Lesbian Show, which is currently having a Kickstarter. Please, please support this Kickstarter. I believe the Kickstarter doesn't end till September 19th, so plenty of time to give in a dollar or more. A big part of this podcast is about uplifting Black queer voices, so I just wanted to share that. And of course, if you have a couple minutes, watch the Sherique interview. It was really fun. Other than that, as you know, we're covering Big Brother, doing exit interviews every Monday, so if you're already basically coming across Black Bi Reality's interviews, feel free to subscribe and tell your friends who are also into these shows or just into what we're doing over here. Lastly, we finished Love is Blind UK recaps, which was great, but we have Love is Blind Season 7 that's coming in October, so I just wanted to give a heads up that we will be back with Quita Tinsley to recap each drop. If you enjoyed our previous ones, please tell a friend and get them also into the podcast. And just letting you know, if you can't watch the videos all the time but you still want to keep up with what we have to say about these shows, then please also subscribe to Black Bi Reality on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We are available there. You just won't be able to get the video visuals. Oh, and another thing that we're doing is that I Kissed a Girl is available on Hulu now for Americans. I already recapped the whole season, had different reality guests from Coupled with Rebel, Big Brother, Survivor, to talk about this lesbian show. They just kiss off rip, and if it doesn't work out, they have to find someone else or they get dumped from the Masseria. Very Love Island-esque, very fun, very good, and now, because it's out in America, I can talk to the cast. I will be talking to Priya. And this week, if there are any other I Kissed a Girl cast members that are watching, I want to talk to you. Please email me or check your DMs. I probably already reached out to you. And if you're a queer person who has never watched I Kissed a Girl, what are you doing? I need you to go watch it now, watch the recaps, and prepare for this interview with Priya, because she has a lot to say. Now that's basically fully it. On to our Joseph interview. Thank you for listening and watching.
Like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful Black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic vibe moment of the
chaotic vibe moment. And you're watching Black Bi Reality.
Black Bi baddies
and those who love us.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Hi, I am Nicole from Black Bi Reality Podcast. So excited to talk to you.
Excited to talk to you as well.
My first question is, you had a brutally honest conversation with Angela before you hit the block. Then you did what house guests should do. Cry and ask for forgiveness.
Tail between the legs.
It worked with Angela. She ended up voting to keep you. How does it feel to have that moment with Angela and get her vote in the end? A consolation prize? I don't know.
Yeah, I think, like, I feel like the conversation I had with her was a little bit more nuanced than she spun it to people. And that
Joseph, we yeah. watched it. It was brutal. You brought up her age.
I was saying it in a way to be like, it's impressive. Like, people who usually are your age go home early. Like, you know what I mean? And you haven't. Like, that's impressive. I was trying to, you know what I mean? There was other things that I was saying that were nice. It wasn't all just brutal. But yeah, I think to come up to her afterwards and everything like that, obviously you got to do that. You got to swallow your pride, like, in the game. But I don't necessarily think that's what did it. I feel like I always had a close bond with Angela, and that's why she asked me for advice, because we were close and she expected me to tell her the truth. It was just a little too much truth for her. And I was wrong as well. I didn't think Leah would use the veto on her. I really thought that that was never going to happen. And I was wrong. You know what I mean? But I had a good relationship with her throughout the game. So I don't necessarily think that me apologizing is what saved it. I think that we just always had this bond from the get-go, from week one when she won that HOH. So,
yeah, it's possible. Some also, and some meaning, Rob Has a Podcast. I know that you're a fan of Rob Has a Podcast.
Yeah, I don't think they're a fan of me, but yeah.
They are. They're a fan of the game. Yeah. And their read on it was, after Quinn did his first big mess up, he was so good with everyone in the house. Their theory is that you saw that and you started trying to take that same position where all the allies are, like, kind of surrounding him. Then you admitted to liking Leah, which Rob has the podcast made a joke of, like, wow, he's really trying to hijack Quinn's thing.
Oh, that's funny.
Do you think that you consciously did spot that Quinn was in a good spot and you were trying to mirror some of that for yourself?
No, honestly, I wish I could take credit for that, but no, that wasn't. I honestly, and I didn't think Quinn was in a good spot. So maybe that's bad on me. I felt like he, and I don't know what spot they're talking about, like when in the game they're talking about, but for
everyone just wanted to work with Quinn in those first few weeks.
I think the thing with Quinn that he had the identity, he's really athletic. Like, you know what I mean? He can run a 6-minute mile. Like, the kid is a beast, like, in that way, and I'm not. And I feel like that was, like, a big thing with it, you know what I mean? Because people knew they couldn't trust him from early on, and that's why I didn't think he was doing that well. Like, because I'm just like, this kid's name is like dirt. Like, you know what I mean? I wanted to put all the heat on him all the time, because I'm just like, everybody's blaming Quinn for everything, you know?
True. My question for you is that most house guests come into the game with a set plan, and said plan goes out the window once the season starts. I will give you kudos. You did a great job at sticking to your plan preseason of finding that competition threat, hiding behind them, and also you kept the collective alive. Once Angela outed it, it would have been so easy to throw that away. Joseph, you kept saying collective this, collective that. At first it's like, what is Joseph doing? And then it's like, oh, he tricked all the house guests to, like, no, we're still doing this. And then,
well,
they
I think some things got missed from that too, because I've heard that kind of rhetoric, and I think that people sometimes would come up to me asking me about it. It wasn't always just me talking about it. I remember there was one time, I mean, that's how I saw it. Kimo, T-Core, and Quinn one time, like, I think this was before or after Chelsea's HOH, like, immediately after, they're like, Joseph, what's going on with the collective? Like, is this, like, a thing or, like, whatever? And I was just like, I don't know. Like, and for me, I had gotten so much heat the week before that during Chelsea's HOH week, I was like, I don't know about this. I don't know if I want to be the one to, like, do all this stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then Cedric's HOH, he brought it up to me again, and he was like, we need to do something about this. And I was like, yeah, we do. Like, you, like, you do something about it. Why do I have to?
Well, my question for you is like, what would your advice be to future players of, like, yeah, you're answering these questions of what you're going to do in the game. How do you keep that focus to actually follow through? And then, yeah, what's that trick? Because I think people just get very overwhelmed once they enter the house that we see nothing from their preseason stuff.
I don't think that matters that much, personally. I think that, like, yes, you can have a set plan or anything, but you have to throw that plan out the window. If need be, you know what I mean? Like, the game is about making, like, play calls. You know what I mean?
Do you think you did?
I do think sometimes I did. Yeah. I think, like, when I was, at the start of the game, I didn't want to do anything. You know what I mean? I wanted to chill. I wanted to, you know, have people come to me. But then I realized it wasn't really happening like that. Like, Matt was coming to me and Angela was coming to me, and I was playing both sides of that. But then I realized, like, you know, I don't want to do what Matt wants to do. Like, I want to do my own thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's when I, like, started the collective or whatever, which I never anticipated me having the impetus to, like, do that the first week. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see that for myself when I planned my game out. And so I do think sometimes you have to kind of pivot and make play calls. So,
all right. My last question for you, since I know you work in a video store, which is so awesome, and you're into movies, which I was into the title of the duo you had with Tucker. And I just wish you guys could make movie references when you make a movie.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
I
they
have
were
to throw
happening
it away.
In the DR, but legal, you know, they can't,
I
yeah,
know.
They get cleared. Yeah.
My question for you, though, are do any of the house guests, or even the season, remind you of any movie characters or specific movies?
God, Twister. Like,
Twister?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I would describe this season as. Like, that's how I felt like my game was. It was like I was trying to manage these crazy personalities. Like, I was trying to manage Angela. She was going off the deep end. I was trying to manage Matt. He's going off the deep end. I'm like, all right, you know what? Tucker seems chill. He's like a hurricane, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I felt like my whole game was just trying to manage these tornadoes, and they're just pulling me along with them, and I'm just like, oh, can I get up again? Can I, you know, like, you know, that to me was the game for me. It was just like feeling like I'm the only one who's chilling in here. Everybody else is like freaking out, like, you know, me and Cam were chilling, and then everybody else is just like going wild. So,
well. That's a great answer. Thank you so much for humoring me, and I hope to talk to you again over at the Black Fire Reality Podcast.
For sure. You take it easy. Bye.
You too.